The technology actually started life as an attempt to make a car engine run better. Joachim Wagner, the principal developer, was almost obsessed with the idea of making a car engine do what it should do, but which normal technology said was impossible. And what he actually set out to do was to improve performance, fuel consumption, and exhaust emissions all at the same time. Standard auto technology says you can improve one at the expense of the other two, but you can never do two, let alone all three, simultaneously. And Joachim wanted to work out why. And he did. Now, I don't know whether you realise this, but in the internal combustion engine, there has been no meaningful improvement in their technology for more than 100 years. I mean, quite literally, take away the expensive frills, the air conditioner and the fuel injector, and Henry Ford would have absolutely no problems maintaining a modern automobile. That's how old, or antediluvian almost, one can say, this technology is. It's also why it's so inefficient. Now, Joachim, at the time an engineering student, did not have the finances available to him that an auto manufacturer has, and so he had to think of some completely different way of solving the problem he'd set himself. So instead of looking at the big things, you know, the form and the shape of the motor and the length of the cylinder and all sorts of things like this, he was forced to look at the very small. And the smaller he looked, the more effective what he was doing became. You see, the one essential mechanism in the automobile engine around which everything else is just a structure which contains or forms it is the explosion in the cylinder. This is what moves the piston, which then in turn through a series of levers turns the wheels. What is going on in this explosion? That's what Joachim wanted to look at, because by changing the form around the explosion, you can have some effect upon what happens in the explosion itself, but actually very, very little. What actually goes on there, unless you do something directly in the explosion itself, is very chaotic. And this is one of the main reasons why the internal combustion engine is so inefficient. It's just based upon the use of chaos to turn a wheel. So what does engineering theory say about what goes on inside the cylinder of the internal combustion engine? It says that you take in air from outside through a pipe, you bring this into the cylinder, you mix it with a fuel, usually gasoline, also known as petrol, sometimes diesel, you add a spark to it exactly in the middle, and you get a nice, even explosion which pushes the piston down the cylinder, turns the crankshaft, and brings rotative power to the road wheels. That's the theory. What actually happens is something quite different. What actually happens is that you force the external air into a funnel, which applies a great deal of turbulence to it. You spray the fuel into the cylinder, which again adds a great deal of turbulence to it. So you have these two substances in a very chaotic condition hitting each other. And what happens? They bounce off each other. And the effect is that you get in the cylinder places of concentrated air, places of concentrated fuel, and places where there's some sort of mixture. You then add a spark to it, over which you have almost no control whatsoever, purely and simply because the spark is of such a high frequency that it is susceptible to all manner of forms of distortions, and simply the shape and length of the cable and the spark plug is more than enough to make the spark extremely chaotic, and it shoots into the cylinder every which way. Too soon, too late, too much, too little, and every now and then, exactly right. This is an accurate reflection of the normal conditions in the cylinder of an internal combustion engine. And it's here where Joachim sought to change things. an undertaking in which, after 8 years of trial and error, he finally made a dramatic breakthrough. You see, chaos is not a natural state. It is mostly a man-made phenomenon. And any system, be it mechanical or natural, will readily throw off chaos if given the opportunity to do so. This is what Joachim achieved. He developed a way of allowing the system, in his initial trials, of course, the internal combustion engine, to naturally reject the chaos and return to its more normal harmonic state, both intuitively and through a process of continuous trial and error. A way was developed of imparting to any system an essential micro-impulse, which, through an almost instantaneous natural chain reaction, reordered the energy flows within that system so that they almost instantly returned to a state of natural harmony. This changed dramatically what actually goes on inside the cylinder of an internal combustion engine. Harmonized air will readily take up the fuel sprayed into the cylinder, and so we then have an homogeneous mixture with inside the cylinder. The spark goes in exactly the right place at exactly the right time. Because the cylinder no longer contains areas of high and low fuel intensity, we get a much more complete burn, which means we get a considerable increase in the horsepower coming out of the engine. And on top of this, purely and simply because of the more complete burn, we get much, much cleaner exhaust gases. Bingo! Joachim had achieved what he set out to do after only 8 years. Now, along with most people who have had a fixed objective for many, many years, it never entered Joachim's head that the technology which he had developed could be used anywhere else. It's not that the concept was nonsensical, it's purely and simply that it never entered his head because his focus was so on improving the burn process that he never thought about doing anything else. Now, with most technology, this sort of assumption is a reasonable assumption anyway. The whole of mankind's technology to date is based upon forcing the world to conform to the way which mankind thinks it ought to function. And so it is quite a reasonable, normal assumption that one tool will do one job, and if you want to do something else, you need a different tool. I mean, you can't turn a screw with a hammer. You need a screwdriver. It's that sort of thing. But fortunately, sometimes mankind does silly things. And one day, driving a rather old car along a somewhat uneven winding road, and because of rather worn shock absorbers, amongst other things, Joachim was having some considerable difficulty in keeping the car properly under control at speed. The totally insane idea suddenly came to him of putting one of his chips on the shock absorbers. Now, this idea was so weird that he actually had to stop the car and think about it for a minute. At first, he couldn't see any way in which putting his chips upon the shock absorbers could do anything useful. But on the other hand, there was no way that it could do any harm. So he made an agreement with himself and set a compromise. He put a chip on one shock absorber, on one front wheel, with the result that when that wheel was the wheel under load, the car went smoothly round the bend. The other wheel, however, without the chip, when that wheel was under load, the car jumped and wobbled just the way it had been doing. Now, to an engineer steeped in assumptions about what and what isn't possible, something happening which goes against everything he has previously believed is a very traumatic event. An event which, in end effect, changed the whole course of his life. Over the next few years, using the technology which had been developed, it was discovered that all sorts of mechanical functions could be dramatically improved by this ordering principle. That is, set the conditions in which any system can naturally, of itself, throw off any perturbing influence, and you get a dramatic improvement in the way the system works. And so over the years, they learnt that not only the burn process in the cylinder, but also the elasticity of the oil in the shock absorbers, the steering, the braking, anything around the car would work better if you put one of these chips on it. Why? I mean, they could understand that the chip would make a dramatic difference to the quality of the spark going into the engine. One could even see this on an oscilloscope. A very high-frequency oscilloscope will show a very chaotic structure coming out of a spark plug unless you put a harmony chip on it, and then you get a very nice sine wave. Makes sense. After all, the chip material is a dielectricum. But how and why could it improve the elasticity of the oil in the shock absorbers? It took them a while to sort this out, in actual fact. But after some time, they realized that the chip which they developed had a natural resonance with the carbon atom. Now, all oils and fuels are what is called hydrocarbons. That is, their chemical structure is just a mixture of hydrogen and carbon. There's nothing else there. And it's the proportions of the hydrogen and carbons relative to each other which determine whether this is a gasoline, a diesel, a lubricating oil, or whatever. And by returning natural order, natural harmony to the carbon within the substance, it becomes more vital. So in the case of the shock absorbers, the exhausted oil regained its elasticity. Similarly, the whole structure of the automobile, from the tires on the road to the antenna on the roof, has carbon in it. And by applying order to the carbon, you can set up a chain reaction throughout all the other materials, all the other elements in the materials of the car, and bring everything into a state of natural harmony. And this is why driving a chipped car is safer, cleaner, cheaper and more fun. For example, the improvements in the dynamic stability of the vehicle allow me to take my car around corners 20 miles an hour faster than I could before I put the harmony chip on it.